Michelle Franzen. In Texas, crews continue to search for 20 still missing after Friday's catastrophic flooding. At least 104 are dead across five counties. Lieutenant Colonel Ben Baker is with the Texas Game Wardens and says crews are working grid by grid, canvassing the destruction along the Guadalupe River.
We've searched 26 river miles since the tragic event has started. We've had approximately 444 rescues. 30 recoveries.
Officials say the last rescue of someone alive occurred on July 4th. At a cabinet meeting today, President Trump says he'll visit Texas on Friday to get a firsthand view of the destruction. The White House says the president will meet with Israel's prime minister again tonight, with the president pushing to finalize a Gaza ceasefire and hostage deal. Sean Diddy Combs expected to participate in a remote post-conviction hearing today, along with his attorneys and federal prosecutors. His attorneys pushing for an expedited sentencing date. This is ABC News. Global health officials have fast-tracked a new treatment for babies.
The World Health Organization has given drug maker Novartis permission to begin developing treatment for infants immediately, and the new medicine could be rolled out within weeks in African countries where malaria is widespread. Until now, babies who develop malaria were treated with drugs for older children, which sometimes resulted in overdoses. UNICEF says malaria kills about 600,000 people every year, most of them children under the age of five.
ABC's Sherry Preston. Amazon kicking off its Prime Days this week. Among the deals are tech items. Amazon's own line of tech devices among the steeply discounted items for Prime Day. Other retailers are also kicking off their own hot sales. Adobe Analytics expects nearly $24 billion to be spent online this week. The International Criminal Court issuing arrest warrants for the Taliban's supreme leader, along with the head of the country's Supreme Court, accusing them of persecuting women and girls in the 4 years they've been in power. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Progressive knows we all crave validation.
Girl, you are not 37.
I would have guessed 27.
You guys are too sweet.
Sure. Dewy skin.
Terrific. Is something wrong, Ned?
Why would you ask? Just because today marks my 10th anniversary without a car accident or even a speeding ticket? But somehow, tonight's all about your skincare.
Wow.
With Snapshot from Progressive, you can get a personalized rate based on how you drive. And that's all the validation you need. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
So, you've got your dream car. Your dream girl in the passenger seat. And nothing but road in front of you.
Okay, slow down a little, yeah?
But this isn't a dream. This isn't a movie or a video game. This is real life. And in real life...
Look out! Look out!
There are real consequences. Speeding endangers you, your loved ones, and everyone else on the road. While speeding may seem like the quicker option, speeding catches up with you. This message is presented by NHTSA.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. Two people dead and one more injured in an incident in rural Portage County. Mike Leishner has an update.
It started with a well-being check on a home in the town of New Hope, located between Stevens Point and Iola, on Sunday. Officers found two deceased with gunshot wounds, and a third person was shot and injured when they approached officers with a weapon. That person has been hospitalized, and the officer who fired has been placed on administrative leave. Names of those involved have not been released.
Investigators from Wood and Marathon counties will be handling that case, with Portage County District Attorney Cass Cousins reviewing the results for potential charges. No further details have been released. Superior Mayor Jim Payne says an agreement with the city's privately owned water utility will allow the city to administer federal funds for lead service line replacement. Payne credits Governor Tony Evers for waiting to sign enabling legislation until that deal was reached. Another feature of the newly signed budget includes the establishment of a state film office that will offer film and TV production tax credits. Action Wisconsin founder Katie Heil says it will help attract and retain talent in the state. $5 million in credits will be available during each fiscal year. An investigation is underway in western Wisconsin after seven people were rescued from being sucked through the Vernon County Genoa Lock and Dam that happened around 1:30 on Monday. Sheriff Roy Torgerson reminds everyone to wear their personal flotation devices, a life jacket, and have the proper safety equipment. Fire Chief Mike Hansen reminds people to stay away from the dam while it's in under operation. The homes of several UW Regents were vandalized last week with pro-Palestinian messages. The Wisconsin State Journal reports that at least four homes were vandalized. One of those messages read, "Regents are complicit in genocide." UW-Madison students established a pro-Palestinian encampment last year. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy and mild, with highs making it to the mid-80s. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe and they'll wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
But we'll talk with a couple of guys that know a thing or two about what it takes to make a big corn and soybean yield. Then we will get a summary of the key ag provisions in the one big beautiful bill and learn about what is being done to build consumers' trust in food.
Live from a pretty nice little Tuesday so far via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Breaking Barriers with R&D, then it's Policy OG Jim Wiesmeyer, and later Amy Scotchless-Cole from Trust in Food. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis, I tell you what, we do the open, and I'm already getting text messages about, hey, we need to talk about this. We
already?
Need to talk about that. Already. It happened okay. That fast.
Okay.
Because in the acreage report, it said that there was still 3.63 million acres not planted. All right, now that was as of survey time. And the number that we got from USDA was as of June 1. So it was 3.63 million acres still not planted to corn as of June 1, not as of June 30. The assumption, therefore, is that since then, corn planting has wrapped up. I would hope that it's wrapped up. Anyway, I'm not sure that planting corn after the 4th of July would make any positive progress at all. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. How are you this morning, buddy?
This is me in my completely natural state. If you're watching us on Farm Journal Television or wherever else they may be putting this is me. I just rolled out of bed just like this. There's no product. I didn't even wash my face, all right? My breath is horrible right now. I just want to be real today, you know?
This is a lot of detail on a day for that you just want to be real.
I
mean, 76 degrees up in northeast Iowa.
One for the every trombone. We're at 74 here in KC. Got a nice little shower overnight.
It's about the Iowa State Fair, by the way. Did you know that?
Iowa State Fair is going on now?
No. 76 trombones.
Oh, yes, of course.
Isn't that an Iowa State Fair?
I think so. Yeah, and there's trouble that starts with P, which rhymes with T.
That rhymes with, Anyway,
yes.
We've got a lot of ground that we're going to cover. We got Breaking Barriers with R&D, Randy Doughty, David Hula. There was an article on Ag Web that Tyne Morgan had a conversation with David about, okay, you're shooting for 600 bushel corn. Is it still there? So we'll talk with David about, you know, is there still the potential for some 600 bushel corn?
600?
Well, he's done it before.
All right.
We'll talk with Wiesmeyer about what's in the reconciliation, the one big beautiful bill. And then we'll get a report from Amy Scotchless-Cole, president at Trust in Food, about a recent event that they had there in D.C.
Yeah.
Man, we've taken a lot of time already. Let's get to the news.
National Weather Service is looking for scattered severe thunderstorms containing the potential for damaging wind gusts and excessive rainfall possible from the mid-Atlantic to southern New England today, with additional thunderstorms and heavy rain possible across parts of the plains and middle Mississippi Valley. Heat and humidity remain along the east coast and interior northwest, while dangerous heat builds into the southwest again. You and I both sitting at about 75 degrees here at mid-morning. Gorgeous day in KC, bro.
Yeah, but there's some storms out there that we need to keep an eye on, and tomorrow does not look great for down in Texas again.
Well, corn, soybeans, and wheat faced follow-through selling from Monday's sharp losses during the overnight session. The U.S. dollar index and front-month crude oil futures were both modestly weaker. Just ahead of the open here, I'm at 10:10 Central Time. Looks like corn about 3-4 cents lower. Soybeans just a penny and something lower. And then, it's a little sharper over there in the wheats, Chip.
Yeah, just a little bit, but not too bad. The big thing is the big move to the upside yesterday in the cattle complex has got another big move started today.
It does. Well, I've got some daily sales activity. 144,000 metric tons of soybean meal for delivery to the Philippines, 97,000 for 24-25, 47,000 metric tons for delivery during the 25-26 marketing year. And then, hello, Mexico, 112,776 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 25-26 marketing year.
Yeah, Mexico is getting its book filled up on new crop.
Chip, I'm going to say you called this one. President Trump signed an executive order that extends the effective date on the tariffs announced April 2nd to August 1st. The tariffs initially were to take effect July 9. Reciprocal tariff letters were sent Monday to 14 countries, outlining new tariffs ranging from 25 to 40%, set to take effect on August 1st if agreements are not finalized. Trump also hinted on Truth Social that any retaliatory tariffs would be matched one for one. China warned the Trump administration against reigniting trade tension by restoring tariffs on its goods next month, and threatened to retaliate against nations that strike deals with the U.S. to cut China out of supply chains. China has until August 12 to reach an agreement with the U.S. to avoid additional tariffs. An update here on a really interesting story. Mexico's government said Monday it has begun construction on a $51 million facility in the southern part of the country in an effort to combat New World screwworm. The plant is a joint project with the U.S. and will produce 100 million sterile screwworm flies per week once completed, first half of 2026. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Mel. Good morning, Karen.
Hello, Chip.
Okay, so you have been focused on beef on dairy genetics for a while now, and it's part of your operation. What's new? What do we need to know?
You know, I think for a long time, dairy producers kept a close eye, Chip, on the milk market, but really they're also keeping now a close eye on the beef market. As you and I have had long conversations about beef on dairy as that growing revenue on dairies across the United States. And Dan Bossy says, you know what, Karen, this needs to be in every single herd because it's bringing big dollars to the table for dairy producers. Chip, I was out in Chicago recently at a global dairy conference. Five Rivers Feedlot was there presenting, and they're just saying how dairy has really helped this beef segment, trying to grow from the lowest herd size in roughly 70 years. And the crazy thing is the industry is able to produce about 10% more beef than in 1975, with 34% fewer cattle. So obviously the name of the game is efficiency. I think the big question is, when is too high, as these day-old beef calves, beef on dairy calves, are going for $1,200+. That's a lot of money, but I don't see it going away anytime soon.
Yeah. You know, the impressive thing is here, Karen, the people that I consider very knowledgeable about what's going on in the dairy industry. You, mm-hmm. You mentioned Dan Bossy. Dan's not just from Reg Resource Company. He is a dairy family. You know, mm-hmm. he's a dairy farmer. That is the group that is saying we need to do this. Because of what it does to the bottom line.
You know, if it was to go away, Chip, that would be a bigger story, right? Because it's bringing six figures to dairies, and it's helping with the softer milk market. So definitely something that we all smile about when we see that black calf hit the ground.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. All right, Karen. Hey, good stuff. Thank you. We've got Randy Doughty, David Hula next.
Today's Dairy Report is brought to you by Clarified Plus from Zoetis. Tune in to the Clarity at Work podcast anywhere you find podcasts or at clarifiedplus.com.
For dairy producers, the health and viability of their herd is just as important as the health and viability of their business. Interested in hearing more from producers on the upsides, the struggles, and what they expect in the future? Check out Clarity at Work, a podcast from Zoetis, featuring dairy men and women across the U.S. moving their herds into the future with genomic testing. Clarity at Work can be found anywhere you stream podcasts, as well as clarifiedplus.com.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com.
And if you're curious who is going to be at Yield Academy on August 21st in Rochester, we're going to have Ken Ferry, David Hula, Randy Dowdy. We're going to talk to those guys here in just a second. We talked to Ken yesterday. Machinery Pete and Casey Seymour are going to be there. Shea Folks. Dan Bossi is going to be talking about some markets. As Davis just said, farmjournalyieldacademy.com. Be sure to use AgriTalk as the promo to sign up for half the price. Half the price on the August 21 Yield Academy. Let's get into this week's edition of Breaking Barriers with R&D. Randy Dowdy, David Hula. Let's bring in Randy first. How you doing, Randy?
Hey, Chip, how are you, man? I'm doing good. I'm in Michigan. The weather's much cooler up here than it is in Georgia.
All right. What are you learning today from your crops?
Need some rain. Need the irrigation guy to get that well hooked up. Well, we're waiting on the well, man, not the actual irrigation people. They've done their job. And right now, corn is, it looks good. It's finally getting some heat. It was cool forever in May. June has not been overly unfriendly, but we're finally collecting some heat units up here. which is a good thing. Corn crop obviously got to mature, and this is my first one in Michigan, so yeah. I'm pessimistically optimistic.
Pessimistically optimistic. Love it. And it's gotten dry up there in Michigan, hasn't it, Randy?
Man, it is bad dry, especially for those that don't have irrigation. So for those that are hogging it all and wish they didn't have it, ask the Lord to send some our way. But we're going to pray for no wind, no hail, and no lightning when we get it. But I can assure you, there's no doubt about it, Chip. There's a lot of guys up here, it's crops that are suffering. We did get a half inch of rain Sunday, so we were thankful to see it.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, good. Real quick, what's going on down in Georgia?
It's hot, 100% nuts. Had our first scare that ended up going to Carolinas for tropical storms. We should be harvesting corn hopefully the third week of July. So about 2 weeks, there'll be people shelling corn for sure in South Georgia. Seeing some really good corn crops down there. Despite the heat and despite the high nighttime temperatures, there's not been a lot of overabundance of cloudy days. So a lot of the irrigated crops, 100%, is going to do very well based off what I've seen, just simply because of the fact that, you know, sunshine's a premium. And if I could figure out a way to develop that in a jug, I could make some money, Chip. Me and you figure out how to do that, Chip, and we'll do well.
That sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. You know, we probably better cut David in on this conversation and the sunshine in a jug product too. How you doing, David?
I'm doing well, Chip, and I kind of feel left out. Dowdy didn't include me on this product, sunshine in a jug, so I guess I hadn't helped him enough yet. So,
you know,
yeah.
As long as we're talking about that, Davis, we're going to need a theme song for sunshine in a jug. So you're in too. Okay.
Way ahead of you.
All right. So what's going on in Virginia, buddy?
During one of the last episodes, I said we planted some Bex corn. I actually got the Bex guys in my pickup. We've been looking at some corn in the hybrid trial, looking at some of their genetics because it's all foreign to me. But, You know, we've had a little bit of rain. We were hot and dry. Some of the corn is giving up. It's not even putting on a tassel because it burned up. But we got some rains last week and the week before just to help carry it on. And, you know, I think we're going to be above average crop now. We're not going to have a tremendous crop, but we're going to have a decent crop. And, you know, and I think I was in I was in Pennsylvania yesterday, and I think they're going to have a good crop too. So.
Okay. Now the crop that is given up, why has it given up?
Yeah. Well, we had 2 weeks of just ungoshly heat, and then we were dry. And it's mostly on our western farm. We have what's called some reclaimed ground where they dug it for sand and gravel. And when they put it back, they didn't do a nearly as good job as the good Lord did. So when we run into some stresses, these acreage, and it can be significant acres. It might be a 10-acre section in a 40-acre field or half of a field. And it's just starting to burn up.
Yeah.
So it fires up, and once it gets up to the ear, or about where the ear would be, then it won't even put on a tassel. Those areas. So when we're harvesting, we'll go from probably, if we continue to get a little rain, we'll go from 200 to maybe 10, 20 bushel corn in that spot. So we'll have a colorful yield map.
Yeah, no doubt. David, I want to stay with you here for a second. I read with a lot of interest the conversation that you had with Tyne Morgan. It's out there on agweb.com. She basically said, listen, you've done 600 bushel corn before. Can you do it again this year? What's your answer?
It's going to take several acres to do 600 bushel this year. It's not going to happen. You know, my son and I were talking because we've been making some aerial applications on the irrigated ground. And he's like, what do we think? Well, this year, in order to get 600 bushel corn, we are not planting it thick enough if we assume 10 bushels per thousand. So we're having to get some supplemental ears somehow. So that would be two ears on a stalk or a tiller with an ear. And in order to have any of those events, the good Lord's got to give you the right weather. And we have not had that. We have tillers, but they're not going to put on an ear. We see some second ears on some corn. As long as we could keep the heat out, which today is supposed to be 95 degrees. So we're not going to have success there. So I just don't see it. Now, are we going to have good corn? Sure. Well, unless a hurricane comes, as Dowdy talked about. But are we going to have tremendous, that kind of corn? No.
Gotcha.
We do all we can, but, things got to fall in. Stars got to line up, Chip.
Yep, you still need some help. Yep, there's no question about it. Dowdy, what else are you hearing from across the country? What do we need to know about that's happening with this year's corn and soybean crops?
Well, I guess the first thing that I just got told that there wasn't going to be any 600 bushel corn. David's had scouts in mind, I guess, and he's already found out that I'm not going to make the 600. So thank you, David. I'll stop and pull the plug now, but I'm kidding, Chip. Chip, I was in Nebraska last week, and, Nebraska looks pretty good considering. There's no doubt about it. There's some guys as part of our total acre group that has really been a part of it for a long period of time, and they've implemented some things. We're still struggling with germination depth everywhere we go. Still got problems with the planters, no doubt about it. Still some challenges there that's taking the yield off the top, right off the bat. People know how to plant corn. They know how to get corn seed planted. They know how to get it up. They don't necessarily know how to get it all up at the same time and at the right germination depth. And that's just costing, simple bushels in the scheme of things. Ohio needed some water. They had been wet in places and wet early, but then they were starting to need some rain. Indiana needed to dry out. Man, it's just all over the board. Anybody that can go into this crop with some kind of degree of certainty of what, I know there's a lot of bean counters out there. It's going to be interesting to see what we find on the farm tour, because I know what David and I have seen for the last 3 to 4 weeks, and we're about to go back out for our second round of tours. And some people's got it. Iowa obviously looked great, but Illinois had challenges. Everywhere we've been has had some challenges to some degree, and they were not small areas either.
Gotcha. David, what do you want to be learning from the crop right now? What should people be looking at?
Okay. For the most of the country, unless they were later planting, they're getting ready to start tasseling. So the first thing that we need to be cognizant of, particularly in the Midwest, are we seeing tar spot? Because there is some tar spot found. The farmer found some in Pennsylvania the other day. So we got to start thinking about how we're going to finish the crop. A lot of them are in that 1,000 to 1,400 GDUs, and you get the Delta and the South. They're clearly further along than that. So fungicides are key. I have walked fields, and last year before, stink bugs everywhere. This year, I'm struggling to find them. I don't know what happened to them, but that is a yield robber. We did see a lot of Japanese beetles. So when you're spending that aerial application, don't skimp out on an insecticide. And I realize we got to be cognizant on our dollars, because this is a tough year, but this is not a time. We need every bushel we can get. So fungicide, insecticides are a go-to. Think about some nutrition. I would challenge everybody, pull a tissue sample. If you never pulled one, pull one, the leaf below the ear, opposite below the ear, just to get some idea.
Gotcha. Don't give up on the crops. That's the message I'm hearing. Man, I love these conversations. Randy Dowdy.
Pour it on.
David Hula. Breaking barriers, R&D.
If you're looking for promises to overcome yield-threatening challenges, you might go with Big Seed. But if you're looking for real results, go local with Champion Seed. We know that what yields in one field may not be the right seed for the field across the road. That's why we test hundreds of traits and genetics every year to handpick a seed lineup that will perform. And we use local data to dial in on what grows best in your ground. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance.
If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
This summer, lock in peace of mind and propane savings. Elsevia's summer fill program knocks 10 cents off every gallon automatically. That's up to $100 back in your pocket just for filling your tank early. Plus, now's the time to sign your energy contract for next heating season. One less thing to stress about this winter. Call Elsevia's energy team today, 608-819-3140 to get started. 608-819-3140 to get started. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Milk markets are lower. Reporting from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 17 to 1797. September down 21 to 1856. October down 19 to 1887. And November down 8 at 1883. Meanwhile, cattle markets, triple-digit gains once again today in the cattle markets as boxed beef prices continue to move mostly higher. It's just another bullish gust to the traders' ability to push prices higher. Feeder cattle also following suit. Now, the lean hog complex isn't receiving the same level of support that the cattle complex is, with the wild price swings seen lately in the pork cutouts. Really, traders are proceeding with some extra caution. August live cattle up $3.87 to $2.1977. August feeder cattle up $4 to $3.1772. July hogs down 5 cents to $106.90. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all mostly lower as the corn markets and the soybean markets reacting to the positive crop conditions as well in the markets. And that is helping to pressure the market with those crop conditions. Also, some trade issues still have traders worried. That's moving grain markets lower. New crop corn down 4 to 416 and 3 quarters. New crop beans down 1.5 to 1019 and a quarter. From the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, I'm Brian Winnikins.
When you don't feel good now, you want to see a doctor now. At Amplify Health, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need, when you need it. We offer same-day in-person or video appointments with a primary care provider. That's family medicine, pediatrics, and internal medicine. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. Primary care from Amplify Health. A little empathy changes everything.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
And Davis, can you imagine getting out there in the field with both of those guys at the same time, Dowdy and Hula, and talking corn, soybeans?
No. That'd be too much. It'd be too much. You'd never get a word in edgewise. You know, you wouldn't be there for a conversation. If I knew that I was going there to just sort of stand there and listen and soak it in, okay, I could do that. But if you're like, hey, I want you to go talk to these guys, I got nothing.
That is something. Yield Academy, August 21st. They're going to be up there with Ken Ferry. Talking about what it takes to grow a big crop. Farm Journal Yield Academy .com. Use AgriTalk to get half off. All right. Man, I'm not sure if we can get through all of this and the ag provisions in the reconciliation bill. We've spent some time talking about it already and leading up to it, but we've got to hear what Jim Wiesmeyer thinks are the key issues that are most important in the one big beautiful bill for agriculture. Let's bring him in right now. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. I'm here.
Good. All right. Now, we are going to hear, at least the plan is, that we are going to hear from Senate Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman tomorrow morning on the investments that the reconciliation bill makes in agriculture. But from your perspective, Jim, what's most important in the bill?
Well, it's flexible. And for the first time in many decades, Chip, we have a farm. I'm calling it Farm Bill 1.0 because that's what House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson calls it. And I agree with that because it has all the makings of a farm bill, not everything, but most of it. I say it's flexible because we've never had a mechanism like the one in this bill that significantly supports, doesn't make them whole, supports farmers when prices are not just low, but very low. It can breathe, Chip, and it's got an inflation factor in it as well for the future.
Okay, so flesh that out a little bit for us. What do you mean by support for when prices are not just low, but very low?
Well, it's got a built-in reference price in inflation adjuster and an improved price escalator to prevent those reference prices from, you know, becoming outdated when the market and input costs change. And that's what we saw in the 2018 and other farm bills. It just couldn't keep up. This one has a far better opportunity to at least catch up.
Okay. Gotcha. So, you know, Jim, that there are a lot of people that are looking at the cost of productions on this 25 crop and looking at the prices available on it. And heck, you can say the same thing about the 24 crop in a lot of cases. And they're wondering when that support will be available. What is the timeline?
Well, USDA, you don't get the payments until later anyway, Chip, for the 2025 crop. But USDA, just as important as this farm bill is, USDA has to implement it. And now we're going to go through the public rulemaking and things like that. So it's going to take some time. But what's important for farmers to know is for this year only, for 2025 crop, they can receive the higher of the ARC payment. So they don't have to guess on this one. Now, that'll begin with 2026 crops when they have to choose between ARC and PLC. Right. So that's a good thing. We've got revised higher payment caps and crop insurance. I mean, that is a strategic safety net that keeps on improving because they increase the premium support for the individual-based coverage at nearly all levels, starting at 55% by an additional 3 to 5 percentage points, and it increases the supplemental coverage option, SCO, by raising the coverage level from 86 to 90%, and it boosts the premium support for SCO from 65 to 80. But here's another kicker. It allows SCO with ARC County. Now, that was at the very right. end, they put that in. What I'm telling farmers is just don't look at the reference price. This is merging more and more with crop insurance options. So you have to blend. Right. You definitely have to blend the two. And this is just not crops. It improves the livestock disaster programs, the dairy program, et cetera, by applying it to the first 6 million pounds of milk. It's just they did the best they could, Chip, with the funding. I think it was right about $67 billion. Bozeman can confirm that. But I this is one of the better bills I've seen.
All right. Awesome. You know, I was just going to say, livestock guys are listening to this, and we're talking a lot about row crops. I'm glad you threw that in there on the livestock guys for what is included in the bill. What about base acres, Jim?
That won't start. Well, they can increase up to 30 million acres, and you heard that right, Chip. 30 million acres, but that won't be factored in until the 2026 crop. So that's another one. And we could see the cost for farm programs balloon. You cannot have more base acres than your farm has. But I think this is going to be top heavy toward the cotton cotton sector, in my judgment.
Yeah. And do we know any of the details on this? Is it going to be an automatic thing, or is it going to have to be a decision whether or not you want to adjust your base acres?
Oh, I think it will be at the farmer one, but that's another thing for USDA, you know, again, beginning with 2026 crops. So they have that, you know, they have some time to work this out.
Okay. All right. Conservation provisions, any changes there that we need to be aware of?
Well, it just it built the additional billions of dollars, Chip, that Stabenow, former Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow, initially put into the conservation programs. It put it into the Farm Bill baseline, and that's good for the future. And so you're going to see funding increases for the potpourri of conservation programs, the conservation easement program, EQIP. That's very important for the livestock sector, conservation stewardship program, the regional conservation partnership program, and the watershed protection and flood prevention. Bottom line, the conservation people got, didn't get everything that they wanted, but they got funding for the future, and it looks like USDA will have flexibility there as well.
Okay. All right.
On the trade front, doubling market access program and foreign market development cooperated program funding. And Chip, in an era in which the demand is going to have to improve, you got to have market research development and marketing help. And this bill, does that as well.
Okay. All right. Good. What about biofuels? What did we get?
Well, biofuels, as far as the Farm Bill 1.0, they don't really say all that much. But that's in the tax portion where we got the 45Z extension. It was slated to expire at the end of 2027, and now it's going to go through 2029. It prohibits the credit for any feedstock produced outside of North America, U.S., Mexico, or Canada. And it eliminates a larger credit for sustainable aviation fuel. The industry is a little down on that one because they had a much higher rate before, $1.75 versus the dollar. And it largely bars negative emission rates that lead to larger credits. And it modifies the emission rates, Chip, to exclude indirect land use changes. So overall, on balance, it's a better 45Z program. And now that the IRS and Treasury Department has this language, maybe we can get the final regulations for this program so the industry can see if they qualify.
Okay. All right. I'm going to switch gears on you. That's a great update there, Jim, and highlights of what's in the bill. Farm security is national security. That is a focus today for Secretary Rollins. What's your reaction?
This is a major. I mean, they brought in the defense secretary, Hegseth, Kristi Noem, and I can't forget who else. And of course, Brooke Rollins, and they're taking on China's no more buying this farmland in strategic, sections of the U.S. National security, Rollins says, is farm security. And they have a bullet by bullet approach of what they're doing because, in the future, and you can have a number of farm state lawmakers have said this over the last few years, biosecurity is becoming more and more important as we get into this skullduggery world by the dastardly people outside this great country, Chip. So there's a lot more details in there, but bottom line farmers need to hear is that they got a big focus now on putting security involved in the business of agriculture, going from land ownership to biosecurity, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. It was a major press conference this morning. There's no question about it. Of course, Secretary Rollins was at the podium for it, but Secretary Hegseth, Secretary Noem, Attorney General Bondi, Senior Counselor Navarro.
Yes.
You don't see that
triad too often at USDA.
No, you don't. No, you don't. And I've seen the some of the details and some of the action plans in there, and it's there's been a thought process behind it. Jim, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later this week.
Anytime.
All right. That is policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Coming up next, we are going to talk trust in food with Amy Scotchless Cole next here on AgriTalk.
Working as a dedicated Fidelity advisor, I always ask, what's important to you? A look at those priorities and goals alongside your full financial picture to build a comprehensive plan designed to help grow and protect your wealth. With proactive portfolio insights and an eye on taxes, I'm here to help you make the most of your money. I'm Laura Maxwell, and I'm a dedicated Fidelity advisor. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Give me those sauces, grab the chicken strips, let's dunk them in there. There's nothing like it. Hey, I'm Joey.
And I'm Josh.
And we're team members at our local Chick-fil-A.
And a little thing you'll love about the Chick-fil-A chicken strips is dipping them in our sauces.
My sauce is the barbecue sauce.
If you wanted to add sweet, tangy flavors, there's nothing like it.
I love the garden herb ranch sauce, but if you want a little bit more kick in the spicy side, you can mix it with buffalo sauce.
Dipping them in our sauces, it is perfection.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Team members paid for their testimonials.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Lynn, Key Account Manager for Agriculture at Hexagon's Autonomy and Positioning Division. Kale, farmers are talking about problems with the guidance systems out there because of solar activity. What is the story?
Yeah, so for the past couple of years, increased solar activity has been impacting farmers and their GPS systems in the field, really wreaking havoc with their guidance systems. You have farmers losing the accuracy of their machines and sometimes stopping them altogether. The sun currently has an 11-year solar cycle, and we're right around the peak of the current one. Unfortunately, as we continue to rely more and more technology, which is a good thing, it's going to be a challenge when you have the increased solar activity.
All right, so what have you got at Hexagon to help manage this disruption?
Updated quality GNSS systems are the key to consistent performance during solar events. You can't afford downtime. So at Hexagon, we've been providing reliable positioning systems to large ag OEMs for decades through its Novatel and TerraStar brands. And we've upgraded our systems to be even more resistant to the impacts of solar activity. At Hexagon, we want to equip farmers with the best available systems. It's really important to note that choosing a reliable satellite-based correction can help minimize the impact on the farms. For us, the signal that we prefer is the TerraStar C Pro. That's going to be the preferred choice for farmers who want less downtime.
Fantastic, Kale. Where can listeners go for more information?
You can check us out at TerraStar.net for more information.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kale. That is Kale Glenn, Key Account Manager for Agriculture at Hexagon's Autonomy and Positioning Division.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grain.
and eat away at your bottom line. At Central Life Sciences, we believe in making every kernel count. Our Gravista and Diacon IGR family of products are proven solutions for post-harvest insect control, providing lasting protection as grain is being loaded into storage. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn how you can make every kernel count.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.51% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Tuesday morning. Last week of June, Farm Journal's Trust in Food had a symposium there in Washington, D.C., had an opportunity, a great opportunity, to have a conversation with USDA NRCS Chief Aubrey Bentencourt. And Amy Scotchless-Cole, president of Trust in Food, had that conversation with Bentencourt, and she is here to give us an update and some highlights there. Amy, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good, Chip. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, just fine. So what were the highlights from the conversation with Bentencourt, and what do you feel like America's conservation ag movement accomplished with the symposium there in D.C.?
Yeah. Well, so first, you know, we were, America's Conservation Ag Movement and our Trust in Beef partners were in D.C. for one really simple reason. We were bringing the voice of farmers and ranchers to the center of power at a really important time. And that's because a lot of our policymakers and even folks in government agencies are so far removed from the farm and ranch that they sort of need an opportunity to hear directly from folks who's, you know, dealing with the programs and the policies that they're implementing. And so we had, a relatively large contingent led by farmers and ranchers that were out. We hit 30 different congressional offices in our education campaign and conversation. Yep, which made for some sore feet across the Capitol, but it was a really good day. So then the next day, go ahead.
Hey, Amy, real quick, how was the message received in those conversations with lawmakers?
You know, they were really interested in hearing directly from our farmers and ranchers about what it felt like right now. They were generally incredibly supportive of agriculture. Obviously, they were, you know, looking towards what kinds of changes were happening and how those changes felt on the ground. And so what our farmer and rancher stewards got to talk about is no matter what, no matter who's in power, conservation agriculture is really important to them to running successful and profitable operations. And that was sort of a key of their key message. The other thing we talked about a lot that was really well received was just choice and having a full toolkit, right? Like having a toolkit of options to be able to solve the problems that you've got and meet the goals that you have. And so, you know, more options rather than less. And that was also cool. Really, really well received. Yeah, it was good.
Very cool. Good. Okay. So what took place the next day?
So the next day was when we had the Trust in Food Symposium, and that's when Chief Bentencourt joined us. Man, she is a firecracker, I will tell you that. She has just had this, you know, barnstorming type of approach to coming on board. She's a farmer herself from California, you know, multi-generation farmer. And she has some, you know, some real specific perspectives on what USDA and in particular NRCS needs to do in order to support farmers and ranchers better. And a lot of what she talked about was just about the customer experience, right? So it was less about sort of the practices or even the programs themselves, but what do NRCS offices need in order to sort of serve their mission and serve farmers and ranchers? And that was sort of music to our ears, right? Because what we hear a lot is that as well-meaning as technical assistance can be, it can be hard and challenging to go across the hall from FSA to NRCS and get that kind of support. So she talked about technology, doing a major technology upgrade. I think one of her key signature initiatives is around broadband, making sure that all the offices have the right level of broadband. She talked about the spinning wheel of death And about making sure that, you know, her folks weren't tied up with outdated, outmoded technology. From a farmer standpoint, the one thing she said, maybe we've heard this before, is one farmer, one file across USDA. This idea that there would be all the information, you wouldn't have to kind of keep putting in and providing data. She didn't necessarily have a ton of specifics, but it's early days. She's only been in the job a couple of months. But that is was a really well-received message, too, from our team.
You went through it really quick there, but the one farmer, one file, I think, is something that's it kind of highlights what is hopefully a practical approach at USDA, right?
So I think the things that we heard were, hey, yes, there are budget cuts. Yes, team members are leaving. Associate Chief Lewis Aspie joined us later in the day, and he clarified that most of the positions that were leaving were in D.C. And one of the things that Chief Betancourt did say was she wanted to make sure that folks were out in the field. And so being located where the work is was a key message. And I think that highlights a practical approach, making sure people can be in their trucks and out meeting people where they are, you know, again, practical approach, and then having the information that they need so that they can serve the farmer when they're talking to them. We all know that, no one gets into farming and ranching because you love to spend time in USDA offices. And so,
That is exactly right. Exactly right. You know, we better cover this here real quick. What's next? What comes next for Trust and Food?
Yeah, well, so it's summertime. So the thing that we are doing between now and really on into the fall is we are out in with field days across the country. Looking at how ranchers and farmers are sharing their best practices with each other. We've got two coming up in July, one in Minnesota, one in Arizona. So very different. You can find those at trustandbeef.com. And what we're really trying to do is do two things. We're trying to help farmers and ranchers see what other people are doing and get some inspiration, as well as bring in others who are interested to see what it looks like in real life.
Gotcha. Trustinbeef.com, correct?
That's it.
All right, Amy, good stuff. Thank you so much for the update. And we will be providing some coverage from the Trust and Beef event down in Arizona. So looking forward to learning what you guys have got going on down there. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. You bet. Amy Scotchless-Cole, president of Trust in Food here at Farm Journal. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to talk about what's going on in these markets, even with the contract lows in corn. Jody Lawrence, Strategic Trading Advisors, will be here to go through some of the details of what happened in the markets and what we should look for the rest of the summer, right here, AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month.
Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777. Or BigLou.com.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration says mass deportation operations will continue, including for farm workers at U.S. businesses. President Trump earlier signaled he may provide an exemption for farm workers. Today, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins at a farmland security briefing says no one has amnesty.